Yes.
How big are you guys?
Right now, we're close to getting to hiring a total of 1,300 active virtual.
Like, man, you're employing 1,300 people. You have this virtual Latinos business. You've scaled, you've built, you make good money. But follow the story. Why did two best friends do this company together? Welcome back to another episode of the Cody Cottle Show, where I bring on the most high-level guests. We have these intimate conversations. I want to share this before I intro these guys, because I want to tell you guys why I really do this. So the truth is that I grew up with my father in prison, raised by a single mom, and I began to get in the right rooms with the right people. And I began to have conversations that would change my life. And I had this moment a few years ago where I was like, man, I just wish my friends could hear the conversations that I'm having, because they're changing my life. And if they just caught even 10% of this, it could change their life too. So that is why I have two very special guests on the show today. And what's cool, guys, is relationships is everything. If you wonder how I get these guys on the podcast, how I elevate myself in life and business and everything that I do, it's all relationships. You know, I met these two amazing men through a brother of mine named Yigal. And it takes an introduction like that. And you get to know people and you meet and you see the incredible things that they're doing, the businesses that they're building. So today I have Jaime and Yenner on the show, and we have the CEO and the Chief Business Development Officer of a company called Virtual Latinos. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Man, I'm pumped
to be here.
You ready to have some fun?
In person.
Yes.
Yes. I like it.
We were talking about before, they're like, oh man, with all this COVID stuff, and they run a virtual, literally, employee company. Yeah. They're always behind the computer screen. Isn't it so nice to meet in person?
It is great. We finally did it for the first time in 2021 with a few members of our team, and it literally made a big impact in the business that we realized how important it was to meet in person, that which is why then we made it a thing, like, we got to do this every year, and we're trying to add more and more people. We love working virtually, but yeah, being in person is a whole other
thing. I feel like you kind of have to say you love working virtually because of virtual.
Oh, no. I also like, because it's like so easy. I literally get up from bed and just work. It's like right there. It's very easy.
I love it too. My office is in my house.
Yeah.
So I might be in my boxers on some of those calls and they'll never know.
They'll never know.
Honestly, yeah. I worked in person for so many years, and having that switch into working at home, it's completely different. It's a game changer.
And when you develop like the routine and you structure it and you get it in the way, like where you're in your flow state and groove. Like for me, I've dialed it down to like, I got the gym in the garage. I even got a Peloton like in there. So I wake up, I hit the Peloton. I got in the office, I have my time with God. Like, I just love it. I'm in such a flow. I don't even got to go to the gym and worry about finding a parking spot or talking to somebody. And my meeting is right in my house, in my second bedroom.
It's a thing that's staying. I just recently read an article from The Atlantic that actually said that, you know, now the average American typical home is shifting. I mean, it's been shifting to more and more, but the average was like a 3-bedroom house. It's now a 4-bedroom house, especially now as people are now for sure going to need at least an extra bedroom for an office.
So for an office.
Yeah,
that's good. All right, so let's dive into it. You guys have this amazing company, Virtual Latinos. I'm really impressed by you guys. Impressed by what you've built, where you've gone, the way you've taken it. But let's go all the way back. Where did it start? Because I know you had a different company that turned into this company. Tell us the origin story.
Sure. So I've been doing digital marketing myself for a long time before I created a company. And without diving into those details, this company legally started as a marketing agency called Bluminari here in San Diego. And that was in 2015, so 8 years ago. And that was after I came back from finishing my MBA. I was really inspired by all the entrepreneurs I met in Israel. I did my MBA in Israel, and pretty much I even felt bad by not having a company, because everywhere that I went to all these different networking events, everybody asked me, so what's your startup? Because it's like a startup nation. Everybody has a company. And I come from a family of entrepreneurs, and I work with my dad. And so I really knew that some point or another, I wanted to build a company. So I built the marketing agency after doing a lot of freelance and graphic design for many years. And it started basically me in my house. And then I started to join a co-working space. I ended up hiring people from the co-working space. Like, actually, it was a real co-working space, a single big table in the middle, and actually people actually co-work, not like the WeWork where everybody's really just renting space.
It was a home.
It was like a real home.
Yeah.
And people were just networking there, and it was awesome. I'm like, great, this company can't just be me. So you're a graphic designer, why don't you join? And you're a social media person, why don't you join? And I started hiring a bunch of people. But, you know, eventually, even though I had them all as contractors, and that was a better model than having them as employees, I realized that San Diego has way too much competition for marketing agencies. And my profit was just not going to get to the place I needed to when I was going to get married. And this is kind of how the shifts happened. It's 2018. I bought the domain in January 2018, virtuallatinos.com. And at this point, I've already been 2 years with my wife. I'm about to get married in March. And I'm like, I literally called Yanir. I'm like, he's been my best friend for, we're going to be 24 years almost exactly in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yes. And so, or less than that. And then I called Yanir. And I told him, man, how much money do I need to actually make to survive with a family?
Yanner's like, you need more than you're making right now.
It's tough.
So I was living with my, let's say, girlfriend at the time, but we were about to get married. And I mean, basically, he's like, you need to make at least 10 grand a month if you want to make it, be able to have kids. I'm like, damn. Okay. Yeah. Then I better step it up. And I was nowhere near there. Even I was just really scared. And so I'm like, okay, I really need to figure what to do. So do I increase my prices, which lots of people had told me that I should do, and I could afford to do it because the people who were my clients and people who were not clients but saw me from the outside but knew enough to be able to give me feedback, they're like, man, you're acting so professionally. You're doing all these things, working as like a big marketing agency, even though you're not. But the quality of what you're providing is definitely worth more. You're not charging enough. So you should just charge more. And I remember exactly one of the guys who told me several times, I didn't want to do that because I knew that I wouldn't be able to help the small companies I was helping, because the moment that you increase your price a lot, they can't afford you. Mm-hmm. And I really liked and enjoyed seeing the benefits of those small companies benefiting from the marketing services that we were doing. So I said, well, obviously I can do that. I know that I can, but maybe why don't I just decrease my cost? That's the other option, right? And as I went to lots of marketing conferences, which I was doing at the time, I saw that, or I guess I learned from other marketers that were maybe, let's say, small at some point, and agencies that they were outsourcing work to the Philippines. And that was really the first time I kind of heard of it, because I guess I wasn't looking for options online. And I met one of the guys who is from Australia, who wrote a book called Virtual Freedom. And I met him in person too. And I was like, okay, this is very interesting. I'm not sure why I haven't heard of it. And then I realized, oh, this industry is not new. This has been happening for 20, 30 years. Virtual assistants in the Philippines is a thing. Lots of people use them. Lots of marketing companies too. Read the book and basically said, okay, I'm going to just do what the book basically kind of tells me that I should be doing if I want to outsource to the Philippines. So I did. And I told Yanir, well, you know, for now, I'm going to just hire a bunch of people to lower my costs. For the marketing agency, nothing to do with Virtual Latinos.
Right. You're just trying to cut your costs out to be more profitable.
Yeah. So Virtual Latinos came in fact later. This started in 2017 when I started to just lower my costs. And I ended up hiring 5 Filipinos. Long story short, it didn't work out for various reasons. Costs, people scammed me. For 50 cents more or 25 cents more an hour, they were willing to ditch me and go to another company. So I'm like, okay. And the whole time difference for me was kind of the major thing. I'm like, man, I really don't love the fact that they're so far away. They were working my time zone, but it was not good for them. And then the people that were good, because they knew they were good, they didn't want to work my time zone. They want to work their time zone. And they're like, well, I'm good enough. If you want me to work, I want to work during my time. And that means it's my night. So I didn't like that. Now, at the time, for sure, I couldn't spend more to, let's say, have someone still be good and work my time zone. So for a few reasons like that, after about 8 or 9 months, I got tired of it. And I just said, that's it. I'm not hiring another Filipino. I got to figure out how to do it in Latin America. And we had already spoken about that with Yanir. I separately had been helping my dad with another business where he was doing outsourcing of actual manufacturing, called Outsourcia. And so he was already helping people in the US outsource production to Mexico.
Okay.
As opposed to China. So when I built his website called outsourcia.com, and within that we created a little sort of like directory of people. So I told my dad, why don't we have something different than just a website that says what you are offering? Why don't we go down to Tijuana and we do some advertising and we invite people to join this directory of the companies that can offer services? And then anybody that goes to your website, they'll see more value by seeing other resources that you can provide, even if it's free. People can just look at that list of people and potentially contact them without you or with your help. And that kind of worked out. We got like 30 or 40 people in it, and people started filling out the profile. I'm like, man, I just bought this thing for like $40 or $50. It was just this plugin for Joomla for my dad's website, and people were totally interested. I'm like, this is great. And that became kind of an idea to later be like, okay, clearly people are interested in Latin America, and nothing existed in like any Tijuana website for finding these resources. Like actually finding contract manufacturing in Tijuana is not easy. Relationships. And
right.
People.
You know, people. Yeah. There. Yeah. So it wasn't a website.
You could go to. So we started building that a little bit, but then pretty much me and Yanir and my dad, we've been saying, why don't we just build a company in in like Tijuana. An office in Tijuana. Why don't we just hire a bunch of marketers? And so that's what I started tried to do. So I went down to Tijuana. I did know some people in the startup world within Tijuana, and there's like incubators. And so I knew the right people to ask. And basically they told me, and I was looking for virtual marketers, or just in this case, physical marketers in Tijuana. And they basically told me, listen, man, there's a lot of great graphic designers, programmers, and a lot of other different people, but mostly Tijuana is a manufacturing city. You're probably not going to find marketing people that are at the level that you're looking for, which was like, I needed American trained, let's say, virtual marketers, or you know, marketers that knew all these trainings that I was taking from digitalmarketer.com and lots of other resources that were like legit to the US market. So I just gave up. And then I just ended up being okay with hiring a graphic designer. And so she was my first Latino assistant who was a graphic designer. And then
From TJ.
Yeah. So I thought, well, it's a good idea. Like, she's going to be more affordable. Definitely. She's not going to be knowing much of the digital marketing level that I need, but I can teach her. I'm going to just give her the courses I already paid for, have her take them, and I'll train her. And so I did. And then she also had a visa so she could cross.
That's nice.
Which was nice. So we met in my office a few times in San Diego. And so she worked for about a year with me. And this was from somewhere in 2017, right after I got married, March 25, 2018. I actually paid her to come as a photographer and do something for my wedding. Like, she recorded it in 360, which was cool. And literally the day after my wedding, she calls me like, Jaime, you know, I love working with you, but I'm quitting because some other huge company from Europe was going to hire her remotely and pay her way more than me. So she quit. I'm like, crap, I'm back to square one. Now what do I do? Now I can't find more marketers. I already spent all this time training her. And so I started basically looking online. Okay, I need to just find something that is not in Tijuana and is the rest of Mexico or Latin America. And I ended up finding a single company called youassist.me that was kind of like a call center in El Salvador. They still exist. They were technically, I'd say, the first company actually offering the model of virtual assistants in Latin America, just in El Salvador. And I'm like, okay, that's good. That means there's someone, but that was it. The other option was just Upwork, which before was called something else. And even at Upwork at the time in 2017 or 18, like a lot of the people I found that there were people in Upwork from Mexico and other places, but they started like $10 an hour. I'm like, no, I was paying in the Philippines $4 or $5. I'm like, I need somebody at $6 or $7, but 10 was just too much for me at the time. So I'm like, okay, that's not going to work either. And then I'm like, oh man, you know, maybe what I did with my dad with his little website, I can turn it into like something similar, but for not manufacturing, but for virtual assistants. And then I actually remembered that I had been using the website called onlinejobs.ph, which is how I recruited the Filipinos in the Philippines. It's really just a job portal. And it was not really an agency, but I, for a really maybe dumb reason, I thought that that would be a good idea. So I kind of copied that model and created Virtual Latinos as a directory that was kind of a copy of that original website, where it was just a place where you could find people. The biggest difference that I wanted to do, because of all the time I felt I wasted hiring the Filipinos, doing it by myself as opposed to an agency, I said, hey, I'm going to vet all these people. Because at this, in most job portals, everybody can create an account for free and that's it.
Right. There's no guarantee of quality in the hire.
No guarantee of quality. So I'm like, I'm going to do the same, but I'll vet everyone. Initially, of course, me. There was nobody else. So I started inviting people, and, you know, I won't go into the details to not, you know, bore people here. But the point is, I started inviting a lot of people to a potential place that they could create a profile to be hired by American companies, which was going to be the Virtual Latinos company. And within that, it was going to be called the Virtual Latinos Directory. And that's what I built. So I built that. And so when I got to 100 VAs who signed up and they're like, okay, this sounds cool, that's when I was going to start promoting it to clients. I can't promote it to clients if I don't have assistants. But I can gamble with assistants if I don't have clients. Let's see what happens. So I just said, when I have at least 100 people who've gone through my whole process that are the final 100 that are vetted, good ones, they created their profile on my system, then I'm going to go out and try to find clients. And that's how the whole basically company basically started. It was still a side project while I still had my Bluminary clients. And I guess I'm able to say that I was lucky that even though I wasn't making lots of money in Bluminary, and I clearly needed more, which is why I called in there to figure out how much I need to make, I had a handful of clients that were now just on a monthly ongoing service. And I had my San Diego local team who was serving them. So I didn't need to do anything day to day. So I had the time to be able to actually spend building the website for Virtual Latinos, doing basically a whole side business on the side,
right,
while my clients were still paying me and I was still delivering the services. And that really gave me the ability to focus on creating something new. And so, yeah, basically that slowly, slowly turned into what it is today. So now, totally leaping pretty quickly, the Virtual Latinos directory didn't end up working because it wasn't a good business model for us. And so we switched it now to what it is, the company today, which is the Virtual Latinos, just the agency. There's just an agency model. There's no more directory for clients.
They work with you.
They work with
us. And then you find and place
correct
and hire the talent into their business.
Correct. Yeah. But I mean, it was definitely a great experience in terms of figuring out that the key of the value proposition of what we were offering was the vetting, really good vetting.
Yeah.
In fact, the reason we went away from the directory to the agency is because I started giving away the subscriptions or the access to clients that I was finding for free. Cause I'm like, please just hire someone. I don't need to make money. I just want to see if this works. So I went to a lot of events here in San Diego. I went to a million cups. And anyways, I started doing a lot of networking in person in San Diego and just pitching out the idea of what I was doing and giving people, whoever was interested and willing to hire somebody, in this case for free. I would charge them nothing. Just please log in.
You just wanted the concept to work.
Wanted the concept to work. So yeah, I gave access to a bunch of people and then they saw that there was at least 100 people to pick from. And I kept adding more as weeks went by. And then people gave me feedback. That was the only thing I asked in exchange. Give me feedback. Are these people good? And then ended up hiring them without me making any money, and they were happy with them, and then the feedback was good, and I'm like, okay, this is great. And eventually, after X amount of months, I'm like, okay, clearly the people that I'm vetting them well, the people are good, and the clients are happy to have them, and they're employing them, which is the goal. So then I basically started putting, let's say, a paywall, but in this case is what the other website did, which is I would just charge $49 once for posting a job, which is exactly the price that at the time onlinejobs.ph charged. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll do the same. But then I realized, okay, I'm spending all this time vetting the people, but the other website is not. So for $49, it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
And then most of the clients who ended up paying for $49 ended up, I would spend more time talking to those clients to teach them how to post a job, how to interview people, how to vet them correctly, how to figure out who's good. And that's when it really
came. Way more than $50.
Okay. Yeah, way more than $50. So then I increased it to $100. And then I increased it to $150, but people were still willing to pay because the value was really great. Then I changed it to $49 a month, then to $100 a month, then to $150 a month. People were still paying. So I'm like, okay, I guess that's good. The value is really there.
Right.
It's like I went from $49 once to $150 a month. The problem there is like people were still there hiring them directly themselves.
But yeah.
They somehow still had to pay me. And I knew that was not going to work long term. If I don't get to own that relationship,
right? You don't have leverage.
Me. No, they're gonna be like, whatever. I don't work with them anymore. I don't owe you anything. And right. They still would.
Yeah.
So that's why we eventually realized that that was not going to work out, and it would be in terms of making money more beneficial for us to just the agency.
And so you guys pivoted to that.
Yeah.
And now you are the agency, mm-hmm. and you are placing them, and you're managing those employees.
No, we're not managing them, which is a good blessing in a way, because I had to manage my employees in the marketing agency, and I had to do the project management and the delivery of everything. And that's actually a huge blessing in disguise, that we are definitely vetting them. We are providing support. We are providing initial onboarding, but the day-to-day happens directly between the clients and the VA.
Which is probably better anyways, yeah, better to remove you guys, because then that creates more
especially
friction.
Especially the liability.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And lots of stuff, but we definitely support them.
And you guys have scaled.
Yes.
How big are you guys?
Right now, we're close to getting to hiring a total of 1,300 active virtual professionals.
Come on.
That are working with us.
Yeah.
Out of those, a little bit over 90 includes our team.
Okay.
Our team is a little over.
You got a big 90. Team.
Yeah, it's a big team. Out of those 90, we are just 4 in the US, us 2 and 2 more, and the rest is in Latin America.
You know what I love? It's been cool watching this journey. We're going to talk about a few things that were mentioned in this. You guys are helping employ 1,300 Latinos, giving them work, giving them income for their families. How does that feel? Yes.
Great. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. Initially, of course, the goal was for me to make my own family. And that was literally why I wanted to build something. But once we started hiring even the first handful of people, and they would tell me, oh, man, this job has really changed my life. But within 3 months to 6 months, and people were sharing with me initially, because Yener joined 2 years later in 2020. And I was just like, wow, this is awesome. People are so thankful to me. And I'm like, I mean, for us, it's obviously like way cheaper, but for them is way more than they get. So it's like, this is amazing. It's a total win-win situation. They're super happy. I'm able to make a profit and the client's super happy.
So it's like, win-win-win.
Yeah, like there's a very few businesses that can claim that there's like a three-way win. You know,
yeah.
Where everybody's genuinely happy. You know,
and I think it was Maslow. I can't remember, but there's this basically hierarchy of life. Yes. And, you know, once you meet that, right, and you have your needs and your survival and your shelter and yeah. your food and this and that, at the final tier, it's the impact that you make in the world.
Yeah.
And it's really cool when you get to a place where you're doing something like, of course, you're going to be blessed. You built this. You guys have, you know, created this. You work it day to day. But now you're getting to become a blessing.
It's a huge blessing. I mean, I'm not going to dig deeper into other subjects that are not yet right now business, but let's just say that from people within my family, you know, they've kind of told me that they believe that part of my job in this life is to help a lot of people.
Mm.
So, and I mean, I definitely love helping people. Just yesterday I met with another group of business consultants and they're like, you know, what is the goal of Virtual Latte for the long term? Like, what are you trying to do? Sell it? You know, not sell it, get investors, blah, 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 which is a different subject. But the truth is, like, the ability to help people is just amazing. I mean, yeah. Yener can tell yeah. you too. Now, 5 years later, but 4 years of the agency, now we have so many examples of people literally buying houses, buying cars, paying for people's colleges or, like, you know, their kids' better schools. And the change is just like, it's huge.
Yeah. Wow.
And we're creating this literally real change in people's life. And it makes a difference.
And we directed our mission towards that.
Yes.
Honestly, I think one of the main thing that attracted me to this business, and I think that's where we connect a lot, not just as best friends, is being able to change other people's lives.
Yeah.
And this year, we implemented this new system called Traction. It's an EOS system, so entrepreneurial organization.
Phenomenal book.
Yeah. So we're implementing this into our company and in there, we were able to identify what's our one-year goal, three-year goal, 10-year goal. And it wasn't as a number on profits, but our goal is to be able to change a million people's lives.
In 10 years. That was a 10-year goal.
10-year goal.
Wow. And that's counting client and
Their families. Employee. A million people is a lot of people. So yeah. I told like the team, I'm like, realistically, I mean, if we can employ a million people, that'd be awesome. But like, let's be real, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
But if we can affect the lives.
The average household is four. And
exactly. Know, so yeah, I can tell you 000. That.
I created a whole math.
I was all about
this.
The math. This is like, I hate BS marketing numbers.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm a marketer, but I hate it.
Yeah.
So I told the implementer who was helping, I was like, man, that's a good number. I guess it's better than coming up with helping just the people employed. But I'm like, I'm going to have a formula. So like a few weeks later, I got into Excel. I'm like, I did all these research. Average household in the US is this. Average household in Latin America is this. And, you know, we came up with a number. Right now, we're at about, based on our numbers, we're helping about 36,000 people's lives being changed.
Wow.
Now, getting from 36K to a million is a big goal.
Well, definitely, but hey, that's why we set goals. That's why we set what seem unobtainable goals because they drive us forward. It's good. So I also want to hit on, you know, we have you here, Yener, best friends.
Yes.
And it's really cool, like, hearing about the story. And guys, I hope you're catching this, right? Like, all the greatest businesses, I've sat here and interviewed so many people. People always wonder, like, they can look at you now and be like, man, you're employing 1,300 people. You have this Virtual Latinos business. You've scaled, you've built, you make good money. But follow the story. Success leaves clues. Reverse engineer what these guys did. Look at it. And it's cool, the pivots that you made at the right times, what you learned, things you tried that didn't work, even ways you served other people, even your dad and building that in his website and serving your dad's business and how you got an idea from that and how that led. But one cool thing you said also was, you know, your best friend Yener, you hit him up. Yeah. And originally, you know, hey man, you got to make more money than you're making in your company. Why did two best friends do this company together? Where did that come from?
You know, from a long time ago, we've always had the passion to be able to work together. But, you know, life takes different directions. And he went overseas to study. I stayed here in San Diego. I'm originally from Istanbul. I came over to San Diego when I was 15 years old without my family, by myself. I lived with my cousin and uncles, my cousin Yigal that you met. And 3 years later, I brought over my family and I started helping them build their own business. And that business grew to a good proportion, good size, but I was working 7 days a week, 10 to 12 hours a day, very heavy.
Yes.
On the other side, while I was continuing with that business with my family, I was always in contact with Jaime and I was, you know, trying to coach him as he was newly getting married. I was already yes. married for like 7-8 years, so I had some experience.
Dang, how long employees. You been married?
I've been married for 13 years now.
Bro, come on.
Yeah, it's been a while, but yeah, I'm very blessed. I have two kids, an 8-year-old daughter and a 10-year-old son.
Wow.
So yeah, yeah, life passes by really quickly. I guess I started everything at a very young age. Everything accelerated very quickly. And yeah, when I was hearing Jaime going through these challenges at his business and, you know, at his marketing agency, it's very interesting. Before we started this recording, as he shared with you the name of the company, Bluminari, and how he was, you know, the can you explain one more time why you called it Bluminari?
Sure. Yeah, because we didn't get that on the podcast. That's right.
This is very, very, very important.
Bluminari, which is the name of the legal entity, which was and still technically, you know, the marketing agency that we don't do anything with, was the combination of two words, blooming and illuminating, with the goal of helping businesses bloom and grow, which is what, you know, marketing was about helping them with, but also illuminating them with knowledge. So like, I've always wanted to not just let people know that I can help them, but I want in a way for them to understand, you know, how things work, I guess, but that's because how I am. And like I said earlier, like then I realized, okay, people don't care so much how it works. Like if the car can take me there, I don't care how it works, right? And then so, but at the very beginning of my journey with clients, I was all about like, okay, this is what I can do, but it's like, you know, this is how it works. And this is why, you know, what I'm telling you is going to work and why you should believe me, let's say, right? Because I wanted to tell them. And then eventually I just did the services. But yeah, it was all about helping businesses bloom. And it is why I told you that instead of raising prices, I chose not to increase prices because I knew that I was not going to help those little mom and pop shops that I work with. I only work with really small companies, which was also part of the problem. They were not making me, right. you know, money.
But that's why they stayed with you for so long.
That's why they stayed with me for so long.
He was like an incredible entrepreneur in the sense of like really going above and beyond to help the businesses, help his clients. And it wasn't just like, okay, I'm going to charge you this and this is the service and that's it. He would definitely give in something extra out there to the clients. And that's why you had clients for so many years.
He cared.
And he even helped me with my other business that I was with my family. He really helped us scale in the digital world with, you know, with building a website, being active in social media. It took us, e-commerce, you know, completely changed our business from one point to another. Yeah, we definitely connected in the sense of helping people overall. You know, that was his mindset in his own initial business.
Yeah.
It was my mindset as well in my business. We're like, okay, we're in the same path, but.
Did you notice, like you saw, like Jaime shared with you kind of the vision he had for this company. Did you kind of see that and be like, hey man, I want to be a part of that? How did that come to be?
Yeah. From the moment he talked about it, I was like, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm in. Tell me how much I need to invest. Let's
what do I need to do?
What do I need to do? Just tell me. I don't mind working at night, in the morning, whatever it is, because I'm not afraid of working. So I'm like, let's get this rolling. He's such an honest person. He was like, you know, first I need to really get this moving and see it works. It's something real.
Yeah.
And then once I see that, I'm going to call you again and I need your help. I really do need your help, but I really need to make sure because our friendship come first. I'm like, I understand.
Yeah,
don't
come be with me. What if this sucks?
Don't leave everything to jump on my ship. I don't know if it floats.
Exactly. That was the situation.
That's true. Yeah.
Until 2020. And he was like, okay, I think I'm ready. I need your help. And the sales.
And he also wanted to leave his business because he was driving.
Yeah. Right, you wanted to do something different too.
Definitely.
Make a pivot.
I've already had you know, a vision to do something. I was already looking for something different. And you know, the timing come right in time.
You got your real estate test passed.
Yeah, I was going to go into real estate. One of our close friends, he's been a real estate agent for 20 plus years. He's like, you're an amazing salesperson. You will do great in real estate. I already knew if I took the real estate test and I got into that space, I probably would be successful. But once I started studying it, passing the exams and really understanding dynamics of real estate, it didn't really attract me so much.
Yeah.
That market, I'm working in that market. But I was like, I have to do something extra for my family. You know, I wasn't just like comfortable. So I was eager to learn something new, do something different. And at that time, Jaime approached me and it was just a perfect time to join Virtual Latinos. I was right before COVID.
Right,
it was
before COVID.
February 2020.
Yeah.
Literally in March, everything shut down. My business that I've been running with my family for so many years, it's a wholesale and retail business. Everything got shut down. So our business got shut down and income got shut down. So at that time, I joined Jaime, obviously, without any expectations. This was like a new project. There was no income in place. The company was new. We were just starting to see some movement in clients and understanding, should we continue with the directory where we don't really have, make money, or should we go towards the agency where we can actually profit a little bit so we can both survive and grow this company?
And in fact, I went to Spain February 2020. And even though we've talked before I left on my trip, I told him, listen, man, I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. Why don't you see if you can take my place while I'm gone in terms of the sales? I mean, back then the team was way smaller.
Right, right.
I was the guy that this, I was the sales guy and I was the recruiter and I was everything. And so I told them, look, here's the little guidelines. So I started creating standard operating procedures and SOPs. I'm like a really organized guy and I write everything down.
That's a superpower. That's a, it's a pretty good power.
That's a superpower.
Yeah. It's not easy to make them.
But I've gotten good.
You've gotten good.
Yeah, I've had to by necessity for my companies.
Yeah. But I guess for me, it was like a thing. I was always just writing stuff down so that I'd be prepared. And so I had that for myself. And then I'm like, well, I already have this. So why don't you read it? And I kind of didn't even have time to train him. I'm like, listen, man, I'm going to literally just send you this document that's really long. Just go read it all. And then when I get to Madrid, tell me if you have any questions. And then, you know, you answer the phone and see what happens. That's kind of how it went.
Yeah.
Did he crush it?
Yeah, he did great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I came back and, you know, did like the proper training and we went more, let's say, professionally. But the truth is, the reason I love working with Iner is because I love him, but because I know him and because I trust him.
Yeah.
You know? So it was very easy for me to, let's say, let go, because I am a guy who does not love to let go.
Was bringing Iner on board and partnering with him a catalyst for the success that you have today?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, if he wouldn't have taken on the role that he has today, which is, you know, now it's called recruitment. Before we had two departments, sales and recruitment, which is another part of our story, but we combined them into one. And yeah, if I didn't have Iner support to take care of that part so that I can actually build the rest of the company, then yeah, for sure.
When you get the right people on your team, it's amazing.
Amazing.
You know, I've been building out, we're going to get into AI and all that too. And in this training, I break this triangle down and I talk about every business owner needs three things to scale. They need to learn how to automate as many of the tasks inside of the business, right? And before that, I talk about you need people, systems, and tools. Yeah. Then I go into automation, delegation. And delegation is so important because it's like, who's on the team? Who's on the bus driving to the destination with you? And then elimination. What are you doing that you just shouldn't be doing to get rid of in the company? And it's amazing because when I look at the greatest companies in the world, the greatest entrepreneurs in the world, they have the best team.
I'd agree. I mean, we definitely are now in the people business as opposed to the marketing business. And we very much know now much more than before, because even our own internal, let's call it business model within our internal team of how we hired is now different than it is today.
Yeah.
Before, you know, the short stories before, we would only hire like the cheapest people and we were willing to train them. But now as we're growing, we're like, we don't have as much time because we want to grow faster. So we're definitely interested in paying, you know, the right amount to get the right people, the right experience. But yeah, the best people is the most important.
Yeah, you guys really are in the delegation, in the people business. And it's interesting, my new venture is all about the automation business because of what we're doing with AI. So it's pretty cool. And then the business coach is in the elimination business.
And I just want to say something about the whole people business, especially because Traction is a lot about that in terms of delegating.
Yeah.
But a big thing that I've learned through this process is about trust. Because you can have great people, but if you don't trust them, it's not going to do anything, right? You got to let them not only... like you got to really let them do their job and trust that they're going to do the best. And that's a lot that has changed me personally in the last even year.
And what have you learned on how to build that team that you can trust around you?
So before Iner joined, a year before Iner joined, my father, I basically told my father, hey, you know, I need help with the accounting stuff. I was doing all the accounting, all the reconciliation, the whole thing on QuickBooks. And I'm like, I really shouldn't be wasting my time with it anymore. And my dad's been a business owner all his life and he's done the admin stuff. So I told my dad, obviously, I trust you. We've worked together. He was my boss. And so I'm like, can you take care of the accounting stuff? And so he did. And I, you know, even though I trained him, I pretty much blindly trust him, right? And he's taking care of the whole money part till today. And that's a big thing.
That's huge.
If I could not have someone I trust taking care of the money issue, I would also not have time to, you know, do the rest. So trust is a big thing. I mean, now we're 90 people. I don't know all of them, you know, personally or deeply like I could with a much more smaller group, but definitely within the leadership team and the directors below them. Yeah. Being able to know that you have hired the right people and that even if it's not going to be perfect, you can trust that they're going to do their best is it's literally a game changer. I mean, Yanair and my team, especially somebody else, like, you know, jokes like, you know, my dad specifically basically says, like, Jaime has had to change because he's had no other option. And it's true. If I had the option to be like a perfectionist and take my time to get things done properly, let's say, or the best way possible, this company would be way smaller.
Yeah.
But it's because I've been open to be like, whatever, it's not going to be perfect. Let's just let people do their thing, even though it's very, very hard for me, but I've let go. It's what has become the success and the growth.
I think it comes down to the perception of what's perfect,
yeah.
You know, and that's to good. Be able to grow a good, healthy team, one of the main things of leadership is to be able to empower others. So I think that's one of the learning curve of, like, yes, empower, but in steps. And once you come to a comfortable stage of, like, empower that people below you, they just take on.
Yeah.
You can, you know, you have to be able to blindly trust them. And that's how I feel for my recruitment sales team.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here sitting, everything is in motion right now, going on, and I have no concern in my mind at all.
And I'm fascinated by what you guys have built. I mean, 90 internal employees in a company that, I mean, really sounds like 2020 is really when this thing started taking off for virtual Latinos.
Yeah, I mean,
correct.
Our first client from the agency model was 2018. So the directory, sorry, the 2019, the company started, it launched like August or September of 2018. But the first client from the agency was May 2019. That was like the first client. But yeah, in terms of like building it as a team, yeah, it was 2020.
So really put in 3-4 years.
Yeah, 3-4 years.
Scaling to a company that has 1,300 people that you employ through this agency, 90 internal team members, building leadership team around you, having directors. That's fascinating, guys, like to see what you've built. And there are people out there that they feel held back right now. So maybe they're an agency, whether marketing or this or that or a smaller company. They keep hitting their own growth ceilings, right? They keep hitting on those ceilings. Yeah. What wisdom can you guys share with us today that you've learned in your journey on how to properly build that team around you and be able to scale like you guys have?
I'll let you go first.
Yeah. I think one of the most important things is that you need to be open to change. Okay. Once you hit that ceiling, one of the, I think, fears that a lot of the business owners or the people in leadership teams are there, like, okay, we've been doing this like this for the last 5 years and we've been scaling, and they're afraid to implement some changes or understand that not everything that they're doing is perfect as it is for today's advancement. Like, it could be changing your technology, it could be changing your systems, your process, and you have to be open to change to be able to bypass that ceiling and continue to scale. I think that's one of the most important things.
No, for sure. I mean, I'll tell you that I think something positive. So, you know, my dad's obviously not here with us right now. He's actually landing into Tijuana as we speak. And, you know, him and me are both similar, but also very different. And I'm a very conservative sort of guy. And he's totally the opposite. And he's like, you got to start flying tomorrow. And he's literally been pushing me a lot to have this company grow, but in complete opposite to me. So, like, I try to really hold back and do things more structurally. And he's like, no, you have like this amazing thing that's like gold in your hands. You got to exploit it. You got to make it big. You got to get investors. You got to go crazy, right? And even though we haven't followed all that path at all, it's definitely in a way unconsciously pushing me to be to be okay with not being comfortable with the typical things that it's me, and being open to change is what I'm saying, right? Relating it back to Yanair. Because yesterday I had a conversation with somebody else, and it's like, yeah, like, why do you feel rushed? Like, they literally asked me, why do you feel rushed that you need to keep growing? And Alana, who's our current COO in our team, who's also my sister-in-law, she basically answered for me. She's like, the truth is Jaime's dad is always pushing him and me and all of us to always like grow like crazy, right?
Yeah.
But the truth is that without that push, I would have been maybe less open to be open to doing things differently, right? I think that helps.
Two valuable things, guys, if you missed it, to take away from what these two guys just said. For one, Yanner talked about the value of innovation and being open to change. And I always say this, evolve your business or go extinct. businesses are always going to change the tools, the people, the systems, the processes. So the business that's open to evolving and changing, I actually cannot stand the mindset of like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
I can't stand that mindset. In my core values, in my company, we keep it very simple. I'll tell you why in a minute. But we have excellence, innovation, and simplicity. We do everything we do with excellence. We're constantly innovating. If there's a better path, we are going to find it. And we keep it simple because simple scales. So I heard you say, we're open to innovation. Yeah. We don't think we always have it figured out. If there's a better way, we will figure out how to implement it in our business. And you guys are doing that right now. We're going to talk about that. We're about to segue into AI. Yeah. But then you said something key. Your dad is pushing you.
Yeah. Still does.
He's a coach.
He's definitely a coach.
He's a coach. He's a corner man.
Yeah.
Guys, every person, you're lucky because it's your dad, yeah. But every person needs a coach. Every person needs a mentor. Every person needs a corner man. Every person needs somebody in their corner saying, hey, you can do better. You can go bigger. Why are you holding back? Because even, and it's interesting, I just had Greg Greed in here and he talked about like getting wisdom from people is like picking sand up outside of a thing, and you get to decide what you let slip through your fingers and you get to grab onto what you really want to implement into your life, right? And even though some of what your dad pushes you on slips through the fingers, you're playing your own game, he's still putting stuff in your hand.
For sure.
That's making you play the game different and subconsciously going, can I go bigger?
Yeah.
Am I holding back?
Yeah. And I'll give you one example.
That's a perfect example, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. So, and I'll give you one that my dad will be very happy to hear. So I got the book called Traction from a mentor when I had just Bluminari, who owns a marketing agency in San Diego. And he gave me the book like already 7 or 8 years ago. And he's like, you know, if you want to build and scale your marketing agency properly, you should read this book. So I'm like, okay, that's great. And I literally bought the book, put it on the shelf, never touched it. But then I joined another organization here in San Diego called EO.
I knew you were going to say EO. Before I left your mouth, I was like, he's going to say EO.
Yeah, well, I joined because then I have somebody in Mexico City who was a president. He's been a friend of mine literally since I'm a baby. And I kept seeing pictures of him like literally like enjoying all these events. I'm like, what the hell is this thing? It's awesome. And I realized that it's kind of worldwide and there's a chapter in San Diego. And then I started digging and whatever, I joined. And then I see that all these people, a lot of them are using EOS, the system from the book Traction. So I told my dad, okay, you got to go read the book, summarize it. I don't have time to read it. I never, you know, actually read the whole book, just a few chapters.
My dad did.
And then I assigned somebody else in our company to do it. And the important part that I want to share in terms of like the pushing is like, Jaime, we should hire some consultant to help us implement it. And I'm like, no, you know, they're so expensive. There's really no need. The book literally tells you what to do. We just got to follow it. And for 8 months, we self-implemented and we had my dad and somebody else from my team, our project manager, you know, basically they would guide us in terms of what to do. And for 8 months, we only got through like 2-3 chapters.
Yeah, we were just rowing.
Dude, that's how I feel right now. Yeah. I've been rowing through the book for like 9 months.
Yeah, so it's like, man, okay, we got a lot of, we had amazing conversations. And if we hadn't had done those 8 months, the pure quick implementation with another person would have been definitely a little slower because we would be totally lost. So the fact that we spent 8 months talking about it a lot helped. But then eventually somebody from EO is an official implementer of the actual system, which now they have like all these different people that are certified.
Right, they get certified through the
EOS worldwide. Yeah. And so we actually, this was last year.
Yeah.
Exactly almost a year ago, December 2022. And so we were just chatting at this holiday party from EO, and I had already met the guy before. And then, you know, I introduced him to Yener, and we're chatting about whatever. And then we're saying, you know, we've been talking about Traction. We have this book. And he's like, oh, I'm an implementer. I'm like, okay, great. But at that time, like a month or two before, I had already decided, this sucks. We're taking way too long. So I organized another in-person trip in San Diego, and I said to the entire leadership team, which was 10 people at the time, I'm going to fly you all here from, I don't care where you live. We're going to sit for 4 days, and we're going to stop this BS of meeting on Zoom for I don't know how many hours. Like, that's it. We need to finish the book, implement the whole thing. We got to get started. So it was just good timing because my dad had already been pushing me to spend a lot of money in an implementer to just get it done. But it was just, you know, right timing and my dad pushing me. So we met this guy and I told him, listen, I don't know what your job or how it works, but I already have a trip planned. It's in like a month and a half. I'm willing now to, let's say, hire you. I figured out how much it costs, but I said, it doesn't matter. I spoke with the leadership team. Sure, we'll pay it. And so we brought the guy. It wasn't the exact format that he followed, but we followed within that the format, and that was January 2023. And since we did that, the whole business now changed for the better. Like, we're using EOS, we're having the freaking weekly meetings, and now we're
KPIs, scorecards.
Like, now we're like actually looking at data. Way. It's like way a whole different. Other level, way yeah. different. So if my dad hadn't been pushing me.
Again, it comes back down to being able to change.
Yeah, and being and open to it.
Being open to change yeah. and take advice. Yeah. You know?
Well, in the third one, and I want them, because I want people to catch these nuggets you guys are leaving, you were willing to pay for help.
Yes.
So many people are like Jaime. The book tells you how to do it. Let's just figure it out.
Yeah.
But that paying for that coach, that paying for that mentor, that paying for that implementer, how much money do you think it actually made you, saved you, and time did it actually save you by paying that guy to come in with your team?
Yes. Yep. A lot, simply because the value and now implementing it now as opposed to maybe even, I mean, I don't know how those 4 days would have gone without them. We would have definitely done something, but not as good as him, for sure.
Yeah.
Who knows what he's talking about? It's just like when you hire an expert, that's why you're hiring.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't have been able to implement it.
Not the way he did.
He cuts the curve down, the time. Experience. You bought time.
Yeah, we bought time. Yeah. And that time has turned into better processes, which in turn turns into better hires, into better everything. So yeah, it is definitely making a big impact immediately. Yeah, it's been a thing. And now we meet with him now every 3 months, and which is a whole other conversation. But yeah, the whole EOS is good. He's been now hiring from us, and he's super happy. So now he's, you know.
Become a win-win.
It's win-win a win-win
situation,
too.
Yes.
Yeah, so now his executive assistant is now actually from our company, and now he's actually running just his business. Because he told us, he's like, man, I waste all this time in admin and sending you this and that before the meeting and after the meeting. And now we actually don't get an email from him, ever.
Wow.
It's just his assistant.
Now he travels.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
And his assistant takes care of everything.
Yeah, so he just
him.
Does the daily.
Shameless workshops. Plug, virtual Latinos, guys. Yeah. All right. Let's segment into a very important subject that I really want to spend some time on. And I want to dive into artificial intelligence. AI, it's here. Everybody's talking about it. We've talked about it. You guys know I'm doing massive stuff. We launched a whole new product line, LeadFlow Academy. We're using AI automation lead flow to grow and scale businesses, create lead flow that's very unique and different. I know you guys are implementing in your business. You're understanding the value of the employees that you place, being well-educated, being well-trained, using that in the businesses. So first, I want to hear from each of you your take on AI, just being here. And then I want to dive down the rabbit hole of implementation with AI.
Yeah, you want me to start? I mean, when I think of AI, I feel it reminds me of when internet started. Like, I have that excitement in me about it because it's changing the dynamic of how we do business today in all parts of our company. I mean, we've implemented the use of AI in all departments, recruitment, sales, customer success, in all areas. And we've taken it one step ahead and we've created some courses of AI, which are available for the whole community of professionals that we have in Virtual Latinos, so they can also learn about AI. Because, I mean, the subject of AI is huge here in the US, but it's still new coming in Latin America.
Right.
It's not as much as implemented as in the US. So we're trying to really leverage our knowledge and share it with all these professionals. So once they're onboarded with our clients, they already have the understanding, the knowledge, and
the
some basic experience of the AI, the ChatGPT, so they can also leverage in their day-to-day work.
So you're providing, you guys saw a gap, right? So we know companies want employees that know how to use AI. Unfortunately, Latin America, who is our talent pool, is not being educated. It's so new. A lot of the US hasn't been educated, also, self-taught education. Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and take the step of learning this and then educating our employees that we place. Is that correct?
Yeah,
that is correct. And what impresses me even more is that, so our number one line of clients are attorneys.
Mm.
And that's one of the last industry I would have thought of, like, really getting into AI, because they deal with, you know, legal documents, sensitive information. And even attorneys are, you know, one of the first things they're like, okay, are these people know how to use ChatGPT AI? Because they're also, now it's becoming a huge thing in that industry, in that market.
AI writes all my contracts now.
Yeah. So,
like, you still should have an attorney read it, right?
Exactly.
Why don't the attorney use the same tool?
Attorneys are doing the same thing. They're also utilizing the power of AI to speed up their processes and for other things that are more administrative and time consuming things. And, you know, they're able to grow their businesses much better, much quicker. They're able to scale, especially the law firms that are like smaller law firms where they don't have a ton of people to handle all the paperwork. They combine the use of remote team, like people from Virtual Latinos, plus the use of AI. So that's how they're able to scale now.
That's so good. How about you? What's your take, Jaime?
Let me start by saying first, I am not an AI expert. I am definitely an automations expert to the degree that I know. I'm not a programmer, but I'm going to make a small pause and explain why I think that I need to make this pause. So when I started Virtual Latinos, I think that part of the success of the company is I was able to use my marketing and technology knowledge and implement a lot of things into everything we do that is about automation. Mm-hmm. So even before, let's say we had a team, and before we had even a bigger team, there was a lot of stuff that I was able to do, let's say by myself on the back end, because I had a lot of this stuff automated.
Yeah.
The main tool that I use is Zapier. Maybe a lot of people know
about it. It's amazing. Have you checked out Make?
No.
Write down make.com in your mind.
Make.com, okay.
It's Zapier 2.0, bro.
Okay, oh, wow. Well, that's good to know. So, you know, I used Zapier when they only had like 300 integrations. Now they have like 4,000 or 5,000 and some other built-in integrations from the CRMs that I was using. And so I was able to automate a lot of stuff, which meant less manual work for the people that we were, you know, hiring. And even a step before that, Bluminati had a separate sister website called Bluminate about blooming and automating. And I actually sold like services for about 6 months where I would help people automate their business. This is before any AI existed. What I want to make clear, I think, in my personal opinion, and that I've been discussing with our CTO and with the engineers, like right now, of course, the keyword is like everybody just wants to say AI. Yep. But I think that not everybody really distinguishes the difference between AI and automation, mm-hmm. right? Because they're mm-hmm. two separate things. They're both important, but you can have a bunch of automation that is super powerful, and you can have AI do a bunch of other even more powerful stuff.
With deep learning.
Yeah, with deep learning, right? Separately, I think a lot of companies are just calling themselves AI, but they're not. They're just...
That's why when we market, we say AI, automation, yeah, and lead
I'm
flow.
Just saying, I love catching people saying BS, and I'm like, you know, I don't think this is AI. You're just really having a great software that can do a really great process.
What's a buzzword? Learning, people right? are capitalizing on it.
Yeah, so I'm all about being as truthful as I can. So with that said... So we love automation. We built automation into our business. Now we're growing that by building our own software, not just Zapier. But when it comes to the AI, I definitely see it just like in there, in the sense that, you know, it's the beginning of the internet. Mm. And going back to my dad, I'm going to tell you that my dad, back in Mexico, before we even lived here, he had pioneered to build a tool like Dreamweaver. I don't know if you know what Dreamweaver is. Before WordPress existed, it was the ability within your computer to build a website without writing code. So he had literally partnered with a guy who was a geek who built the whole software that was that tool before Dreamweaver existed from Adobe.
Wow.
Which would have changed if we would have had the funding or whatever, that would have let people build websites without actually having to write HTML. Mm. This is back in 1996, really long time ago.
Yeah.
So my dad's always been in the technology and pioneering side. So the point is, I really believe in the whole technology. And like Yanera is saying, it's like so exciting. There's so much to do and there's so many opportunities. But and the ocean is... very open, very blue. It's a blue ocean of opportunity, and it's the time to either do something with it or not, right? So definitely we believe that if companies don't embrace it, like they eventually everybody embraces the internet, they're going to be left behind. You know, the lawyers that are going to be old school, which we've now met quite a few at some conferences where they're like totally old school. People can't even work remote. Their staff is not allowed to work remote. They have to come to the office, and they don't have a lot of digital processes. And then we have the clients that naturally come to us through our website because it's all digital. And they're totally the opposite, where they're like AI, they're using virtual assistants. Like they're totally the opposite. Automating. Like those companies are going to be the ones that are going to thrive and the other ones are going to die.
Yeah.
Like literally, you know, so embracing the power of, which is now like, you know, it's like 10x, 100x the power than an automation, right? When this thing can learn from your past and act as an actual human brain in a way and is learning from your past, not just what you're telling it to do, it's just crazy. I mean, even ChatGPT, even though it's amazing, we're now testing it a lot for our own purposes. Like, yeah, it's amazing, but it's literally like, it's a freaking baby that's 6 months old. Like,
yeah, it's iPhone 1,
it's
bro.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
Once we get like from even 5 years from now or 2 years from now, it's going to be so way more powerful.
Yeah.
So yeah, getting to understand it and being early adopters, I guess is the right thing to say. I think it's going to be a key thing for our industry. I mean, a lot of people are scared. We're taking it with open hearts. In fact, just today we sent the email to our entire, you know, newsletter of all of our clients and leads about that topic. Is AI going to, you know, replace your assistant or making them better? We believe they're going to make them better if they know how to use it.
I agree 100%. And I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was Goldman Sachs came out with a report recently that 300 million jobs are predicted to be replaced by AI, right? So there's this natural fear going on in the marketplace of, is my job going to be replaced by AI? And I believe that people are looking at it all the wrong way. Even the email that you guys sent out hits it on the head. AI is nothing more than a tool, guys. This thing that we carry around in our pocket, that we run our companies off of, that we talk to people on, that we access the internet, we connect to people all around the world, it's nothing more than a tool. And at one time, we sent people to the moon with a computer that wasn't as powerful as a computer in all of our pockets right now.
That's right.
It's a better tool. AI is just a better tool. Yeah. So when you look at jobs, attorneys, assistants, whatever it is, how are you harnessing the power of AI to bring even more value to the client, more value to the customer? Yeah. AI ain't going to replace you. Maybe those menial tasks you've been doing on the day-to-day will be replaced by AI.
But which nobody wants to do them anyway.
No one wants to do it anyway. It frees your time up. So like when I hear people say that, I'm like, bro, this is going to be really good for mankind. Like it actually is because... Yeah. I like brainstorming. I talk a lot of AI with a lot of people right now with everything going on in our companies. And in Star Wars, and I think The Mandalorian, I love Star Wars. I think on the last season in season 3, there was this planet that they visited where like the people didn't have to work anymore.
Yeah.
Because the robots were doing everything.
Yes.
Theoretically speaking, why do human beings have to work 8, 10, 12 hour days to provide for their family?
Sure.
Theoretically speaking, artificial intelligence and these tools coming out could give mankind the ability to have more time with their wife, their husband, your kids, your family. So I see a potential of a beautiful, I always like to look at the positive, right?
Yep.
Are there risks? 100%. Right?
But a lot.
look at man. It's we're not going backwards, guys.
Yeah, we're not.
We're here. We're going to keep moving forward. We're going to learn from our mistakes. We're going to pivot as we go. So for my own life, guys, I look at it and I'm like, cool, we have better tools. So I'm going to give my people better tools. You're giving your people better tools. Hey, my systems could be improved by these tools. I'm going to make my systems better.
Exactly.
You know, my tools are getting better. Therefore, I'm optimizing my time, my life, my company, my employees. We're serving our clients at a higher capacity. I love that, dude. That's innovation.
The increase in productivity that I see from my team, it's impressive. It's just like if they would be taking, I don't know, to draft an email 10 minutes, now if it's taking them 1 minute, they can draft 10 emails.
Yeah.
So it's just like a no-brainer.
I'll tell you, so we just built a new department, I guess less than 6 months ago, like our technology department, because we're investing now heavily in building our own stuff. We now have a programming team. We have, like, we're building this thing, and so... This CTO told us, hey, there's like this tool for $10 a month that basically will help all of our developers write code faster.
Mm.
And they've been using it for now a month or two. Keeps telling us, like, they're telling me that they're 30% faster with this tool. It's like, that's great. I mean, they're already, let's say, more affordable because they're in Latin America. And now we're giving them this tool for $10 a month that's costing us. That's going to make them even 30% more productive. That's freaking amazing.
Dude, a business owner loves that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy.
I have my content agency, and we started using AI before ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. So we've been using like AI in our editing process, chopping up videos, adding captions, doing different things. Mm-hmm. And man, we had our video editors were kind of capped out at like 50 videos a month. And then we went to 200. Dude, that's like from a business owner's perception, it's like, I just took one employee and made them four in terms of output of productivity.
Sure. Exactly.
Then I paid that employee more money to make them more happy.
Yeah.
So now my employee makes more money. They're more happy. They're not working any harder. It's actually easier with the tool. And I, as the employer, are getting more bang for my buck. My bottom line looks better.
Sure.
Exactly. Win, win, win.
Exactly.
Yeah. AI's here, man. It's fun. And I guess, like, what are some focuses for you guys just that you're looking to focus on with your team, with Virtual Latinos? And kind of what are you looking at in the space? Because you guys... are very systematized. I can tell, like, you know, you got a Jaime over here leading the ship. So what's your focus with it right now?
I mean, the focus right now is actually we're at the stage of the company that we are really reinventing ourselves. And so that began by in 2021, which was the first time we brought in our team. And again, this is going back to the pushing and being innovating and open to change. We were going to build a little like referral software for our company. And then my dad also kept saying, you know, but we should improve the whole billing and accounting. Like, you know, I'm doing it all by hand, which he was, and he still is. And then another member of our leadership team, her name is Ellie from Argentina. You know, she really stands up for what she believes, and it was great. And, you know, during that, I don't know, one week thing, she's like, Jaime, you know what? I think that you really shouldn't invest in this like referral system. You should really just listen to your dad, and we should really invest a bunch of money in building a kick-ass great software that's going to make the billing great. Because like, so she said it in words that really captivated our minds. She's like, think about it. In the end, once we do the work, and then yes, we have other resources and value that we're providing to the clients, now even more, which we haven't shared. But at the time, in the end, you know, once we have the client and the assistants, you know, we're working as a middleman in terms of like, we charge clients and we pay VAs. That's what we're doing all the time, right? Other than the recruitment side. So it's like, if that part is not perfect and it's not automated, we're wasting a lot of time. That's kind of what she said.
And it's complicated. Right. At that time, we had, I think, 250 VAs, VAs working. Now it's 1,300 people. So processing payroll every 2 weeks for 1,300 people.
Bro, that's a nightmare.
You cannot do it manually anymore, you know? And if we wouldn't have taken that step of like moving towards... Yeah. Technology and okay, we need to, you know, stop thinking about some of our process. We really need to put our attention to technology, building something that's going to really help us scale. That was the most important tool for us first.
And the problem in our business in this case is that we allow people to make changes, add more hours, add bonuses or whatever, because we already automate 80% of payments when there's no changes. It's like the same amount of hours every 2 weeks, and it's automated through QuickBooks because QuickBooks has that thing. But 20% or 15% of our clients that request changes on an ongoing basis, that's what takes literally 100% of our time to make all those changes manually on QuickBooks, because we have to stop the automations, manually change all the stuff. Long story short, we're now building our own billing and payment platform. We just launched it within the last month or two to VAs, and soon we're going to launch it by the end of September to clients. It's like a big deal. It already took us a long time to launch it, but it's now built. And now that we have the base, like a good technology system that's going to automate the whole thing, now we're going to be able to focus our time and energy and other stuff. So now that was module one, the billing and payment system. So now the reason we got a whole team of developers is because now we're going to build a bunch of other modules, recreate the CRM. We're going to recreate the referral system. We're going to recreate the recruitment system. We're going to recreate everything within our own portal. So once we have that, now we're trying to become a human focused, technology-driven company. So we're still going to be human-focused 100%. We don't want to take that away because that's totally part of our value proposition, but we got to be very well technology-focused. So that's what we're focusing our time. And that's just in terms of building the systems. Now, as we're building the systems right now, part of my rocks, which are the quarterly goals of the leadership team at the time, literally I'm recreating how we do everything in terms of applications, recruitment, accounting. So that's my job. I'm literally sitting down for hours listening to trends and focusing on recreating the entire company's processes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's genius.
Brilliant. I think we need to. Again, you got to change and innovate.
Always.
Yeah.
Human focused, technology driven. I love it. Well, guys, I wish we had more time because we could continue to talk and there's so much, but I just want to take a moment to thank you both. Thank you for coming on the podcast. You know, it's exciting to meet you guys in person. I've only met you virtually, and it's really cool to sit in a room when you see just a power team, you know, and a company that's driven, that has a mission behind it, has a powerful why behind it, and is innovating and is doing it and is making the changes. And that's how I know you guys will succeed.
Thank you.
You got the right heart behind what you're doing. You got the right people on your bus, bro. You continue to innovate. You continue to evolve. I'm excited. I'm excited to watch where Virtual Latinos goes. I'm excited to watch as you continue to roll out technology and you've built your own ecosystem. And now other people got to come play in it. Yeah. And it's optimized for you guys and for your clients and for everyone, creating that win-win-win. That's what business is all about. In the beginning, when you're trying to get the dang thing off the ground, do you knock your head on the wall? Do you have late nights? Are you trying to create cash flow? Exactly. You know, there's things you're like, man, I know we could do that better, but I have this list of a bajillion things. So, and now you get to be in that place where you get to look at it and say, I want to make that better. And I want to make that better. And I want to make that better.
I think that I'm soon going to be stopping to work crazy nights. I mean, he knows me. I'm a night owl regardless. So I love, you know, working at night, but I've worked many, many years many nights. And now just yesterday, somebody asked me, like, how many nights are you working? I was like, now maybe one or two a week. But before it was at least three. At some point, it was literally every freaking day. So yeah, I'm happy that now things are structured a little more so that I can have a more normal life.
Yeah, come on. Well, anything last that you just want to leave the audience with today, guys?
I mean, more than anything, we want to thank you for having us here today. And it was really wonderful to be able to share our experience and what we offer to the world.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'll leave it with a note, at least from my point of view. We're obviously in the outsourcing business, so that's obvious. But I believe that there's a really big shift coming in general in the world of how people are getting employed. Just yesterday, there's an organization called Outsource Accelerator. Sends lots of information about the outsourcing world, mostly BPOs, which are call centers, but they include the virtual assistant companies. And basically, the world is getting to the point to accept that it's normal and okay to hire people that are not physically in their country. Mm. Just like they've accepted it, I don't know, 50 years ago or whenever the contract manufacturing or like manufacturing that's been outsourced to China, India, the rest of the world, like that's okay. But it's still a mind shift that hasn't happened just yet completely, right? Which is what most people still don't hire people remotely. But when enough people and there's enough adoption that is like, oh, it's normal. Like you can make stuff in China or Taiwan or India or Mexico. You can also have your team elsewhere. Once we really, you know, go through that level where there's enough people who've adopted that this is normal, like this is going to explode.
Yeah. Right?
Like it'll be the new normal.
Just and like, you guys are at the leading edge of,
I mean, we're definitely trying to do the best, especially in Latin America.
Yeah. And that's cool that you niched on Latin America. I didn't get a chance to do this yet, but I want to know where people can find you guys to connect with you on social media. So both I want you to share that and then also where they can find Virtual Latinos if they want to hire your company and work with you guys.
That's all you.
Yeah. I mean, our website is www.virtuallatinos.com. We're on social media on Facebook and Instagram and
TikTok
as well. So in any of those platforms,
Virtual Latinos is the handle?
Virtual Latinos. Yes. Just simple Virtual Latinos. And if they message us from any of those platforms, our team will be able to help them. And we're also here to help them. And if they're in San Diego, we would love to meet them in person because, as we said in the beginning, you know, we've been doing this virtually for so long and we're very excited to finally connect with people in person. So if there's anyone watching out there who's from San Diego, they can definitely call us up.
We're both very much people's person as much as we love to be at home. And so we've traveled a lot for trade shows in person and we love it. We love meeting people in person.
Come on. Well, thank you guys. I love what you're doing. And I just to plug these guys too, I want to say, I wouldn't be where I'm at in my companies if it wasn't for virtual employees in other countries. You know, I have two employees right now in the Philippines. I have an employee in Latin America and Nicaragua. I have an employee in the UK. I have two employees here in California. I got a business partner in Texas. And it's like, but those employees outside of the US, I mean, there was a time I had 11, 12 of them overseas because we had so many projects going on and different fulfillment things. I look back and I'm like, man, I don't think I ever would have been able to build and be profitable had I not had the opportunity to do that. And I've been able to bless their lives. Man, I got an employee that's had health issues. I've been able to pay for their medical bills because they're so much cheaper over there and just like do amazing blessings for them.
For sure.
That I think maybe wouldn't have been able to do in the US yet for employees. So it's been really cool. So I just want to say like what you guys are doing, I believe in it. I think that mindset shift is coming.
Yeah.
I think the online business owner adopted to it first naturally because we're already kind of in that innovative online space. So we early adopted into virtual employees, but these bigger companies, like that's just not how they've done business most of their lives. So you're listening to this and you're like, man, I keep hearing about these VAs and I keep hearing about this. Go reach out to these guys, go talk to them. And what's cool is, you know, they've built a company where you guys vet.
Yes.
And you guys find great talent and skilled employees that get the job done and you help qualify them, which is huge.
And I'll tell you maybe one last thing. So we naturally call them virtual assistants because that's what everybody
was going to say
from,
the same thing you read my mind.
You know, now we call them virtual professionals because a lot of people actually were sharing feedback with us when we had some like Zoom meetings. They're like, you know, I wasn't really wanting to join your company because I'm like, I'm a professional. I have a master's degree. I am whatever, an architect, an engineer.
I'm not a VA.
I'm not a freaking admin guy. I don't want to downgrade my life. Then they realized we had lots of jobs. So now we're trying to call them both, you know, virtual assistants for SEO purposes, virtual professionals, because that's what they are. And I just want to say that there's an amazing amount of talent in Latin America. You just gotta find it.
Yeah.
Just like there's a lot of amazing people.
Thank you for saying that. Esther, the other day, we do our webinars and this and that. And she called me out on that too, because our employees aren't called VAs. They have job titles. They have positions. Yeah. They're professionals. I mean, heck, like, you know, my executive assistant probably has like 3 college degrees. I have none. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think, actually, like, I'm glad you brought that up. I think there needs to be a movement of stop doing that kind of in the US. I think it's also like not honoring, you know, the professionals that we get the opportunity to work with overseas. So that's powerful.
We're so blessed.
We're definitely trying to change that trend and that word specifically online.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Everyone out there, evolve your business or go extinct. You know, we heard about AI, so make sure you're integrating that. But more importantly, there is a talent pool of amazing people all around the world that could be a part of your team to go the distance. Go make today great.